close to my destiny, extremely close to my victory, 'cause here comes trials and troubles, jealousy and envy. I must be close to what you have for me. I must be close to my overflow, extremely close to my miracle, 'cause here comes confusion, problems and enemies. I just believe that I must be close to what you have for me. To whom much is given, so much is required. Be qualified, must go through the fire, but I won't smell like smoke. I'll be better than
going through. We close. We got to be close. You see that picture up there? It says church on fire. We have to be close. All the hell we're going through, all the things, all the distractions, all the things that we're going through. Go ahead and pull to that next slide. See that picture of fire. Oh my goodness, look at this one. You see, that's used to be fire, but now it's what is called like an ember, a slow burn. A slow burn, something that has been on fire, but now coals have died down, right? Right? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to just give you something to think about. I'm going to stop right there. Father God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we call upon you now, Holy Spirit. We won't go any further without you. We desire you. We need you. Your presence is required to do what you have sent me here to do today. So God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We bind all the distractions right now in the name of Jesus. We bind them now. So children, you sit still. Babies, you stop crying. Adults, wake up. We're going to have church in Jesus' name, and we give you praise and glory in advance. Hallelujah! 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 Y'all pay attention to what God's trying to say here tonight, because we're on the verge of something. I know we think we're there, but we're on the verge of something. That first picture was a church on fire, burning, on fire for God, burning. The second picture is a picture of something that used to be on fire for God. Look at it. It's still hot. It's still a burn, but there's no flame there. There's no flame there. Go to that next slide. Look at the difference. Look at the difference. You see, that's what God requires of the picture of the flames. This is what we have come to, the picture of the slow burning embers right there. You think that don't hurt God's heart? That's a picture of something that has been distracted. A picture of something that has just let emotions and things and cares of the world to distract them and lose that flame. Oh, we're still hot, but we're not on fire for God. We're not on fire for God like we should be. See, there's been a deception. There's been a deception that's crept in here, and we think, oh, we all good. We think we all good, and that's all there is. We hot. We got some flames. We got some fire. We hot, but we're not, okay? There's been a distraction. You know that old saying that says, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. But it ain't so in the church. It ain't so in the church. Y'all hear me? You can sing hallelujah. You can raise your hand. You can do the little shout. You can get all the amens and hallelujah. You can quote scriptures upside down and backwards. But if it ain't a duck, it ain't a duck. That's deception. Disguised. Deception disguised. From way back in the beginning, Genesis. Genesis 3:1. Deception disguised. It says, Genesis 3:1. What did the enemy say to her? Had God really said? It says here, the serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God has made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Church, has God not said that he wants us on fire and not smoldering flames? Has God not said, have we been deceived? Have we been deceived? We say revival. We say we're there. We say, oh, this is good. This is good. We're on fire for God. Things are happening. We're moving. We're there. But God says, no. We're close, but we ain't there yet, y'all. We ain't there yet. We close. But there's something about us walking around victorious, but looking and acting defeated. That ain't revival, y'all. Come on, John 10:10 says that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. We ain't free yet, y'all. We ain't free. We walking around with a smile. We walking around victorious indeed, but that's not how it looks. We look and talk and act defeated. You see, God tells us what to do about this, but we don't pay attention. We get distracted. We don't pay attention. God tells us to put on that armor. He said to put on that armor, the full armor of God, every day. Go on out without your armor. You about to get beat up, banged up, tore up. Go on without your armor. It's bad enough when you're wearing it. But the thing about it is, some of us can't get it right. We can't tell the difference between our gifts and the armor. He didn't say go out there with your smile and your quoting scriptures. He didn't say out there, go out there with your gifts. He said put on the full armor. And the difference is a gift. That's our human ability. That's what we can do. We don't have to think about it. It just comes naturally. Amen? That's a gift. He gave it to us, but that's a gift. But you see, the armor of God, those are all supernatural abilities that he has restored for us, the Christians, to use against the enemy. So we get it all confused and twisted around where we don't know what we're doing. We think we go out with our gifts. We come in with the armor. We put on the shield. We lay down the sword. We might put the shoes on, but there ain't no belt of truth to hold it all together. Come on, y'all. Give me the next slide. Give me this next slide. He done made me mad today. I'm ready. Come on. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness." Truth. Go to that next slide. Y'all, come on. Keep up with me. It says in John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We ain't free yet, y'all. We ain't free. It says the truth shall make us free. Now look, I'm just a messenger. Don't y'all kill the messenger. That's why I put that one up there. In case I got a little rough. I ain't Pastor Thomas, so don't y'all don't kill the messenger. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people." Look, look. I'm just, hey, calling it like it is. Difficult people. It says, "Gently, gently, gently instruct those who oppose the truth." Whew. Perhaps God will change those people's heart, and then they will learn the truth. Verse 26 says, "Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." Whatever he wants. What we doing, y'all? Whatever he wants. Because we ain't following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Don't y'all play with me today. Yet we're not doing it. We're not following the lead of the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm just a little kindling. Holy Spirit's going to be the oil, and we're going to make this thing a fire again. Amen? Amen? See, I know we think we got revival, but we don't. See, God ain't interested in a slow-burning, lukewarm church. That's a dying church. And that's in reference to Revelation. Y'all read it. Read about the churches, the seven churches. He's not looking for a lukewarm church. He is not looking for something that's just so-so, that's just how to do, that's just okay, you good, that's all you need to do. He's looking for a spotless bride. Do you hear me? He's looking for a church on fire. He's really not. He's really not looking for that ember. He's not looking for that slow-burning coal. He's looking for a church that is on fire for him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. I say praise God for not leaving us. I'm praising God for not leaving us in that state. Because he could have. He's already done enough, church, but he didn't. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. You see, I took some time, and I had to go in my secret place so I can, you know, hear my daddy God tell me, you know, like we're going through something, something just, it's just not right. It looks good, but it's just something just, you know, not right. You know, y'all know, I'm going to be the one to speak up. Y'all can amen if you want to, or you can say, oh, me, if you want to. I don't really, you know. It's all right. It's all right. But see, I've been in that secret space, and he's revealed the plans of the enemy. Not only does he reveal it, he gives me direction. He tells me, you know, go straight, turn right, sit down, be quiet, speak up. He gives me direction. But you can't get that just walking through your day with half your armor on. You got to get in that secret place to hear from God. Holy Spirit is trying to talk to us. Do y'all hear me? All right now, this is getting good to me. I don't know about y'all, but this is getting good to me. So listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. Let's just be real. How are we going to be in revival if we walking in willful sin? How can we truly say, in all fairness, y'all, I say it too. How are we going to say we in revival and we walk around in sin? Come on now. Give me that scripture, that screen, John 16. God says we don't have any conviction. No conviction. Okay, conviction in the Greek. Elencho, whatever that says, means to convince someone of the truth. Reproof. That job belongs to Holy Spirit. That job belongs to Holy Spirit, not Holy Spirit Jr., not Holy Spirit Jr., Holy Spirit, the only Holy Spirit. John 16 and 8 says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. So it's telling us plain out, Holy Spirit has a job to do, amen? He comes to make sure that when we don't do right, he moves on us. He quickens our spirit. We know something ain't right. We know when it's not right. Tell me something. How can we be in the presence of an almighty, holy God with the junk that we carry within us? With the junk that we bring in. With the junk that we intentionally carry. Not the things that we lay down at the altar and leave it, or the things that we intentionally carry around with us. Come on, how can we raise our hands to an all-holy God, knowing that we got sin in our mouth, sin in our hearts, come on, sin in our life. How can we raise our hands to a holy God? Come on, church. I'm trying to get us somewhere. You know, it should prick our hearts. Do we even know what that word means? It should prick our hearts. It should hurt our hearts when we dishonor God with sin. It should take us to a place that, God, I'm sorry. Not because we feel shame. Not because someone found out. Not because, oh, my conscience is eating me up. But because you love him so much, you don't want to dishonor him. You don't want to dishonor your heavenly Father. Come on now. Willful sin. And we walking around with it talking about hallelujah. We in revival. Oh, God's good and God's moving. He is moving. Yes, he is. He's moving. He's moving. I don't want you to get that conviction mixed up with condemnation. Condemnation comes from the devil, from Satan himself. Okay? Romans 8:1-2 says, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk out after the flesh, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Question one, what are we walking? Where are we walking? After the flesh, after the Spirit. Flesh and spirit. We've been doing a lot of talking about that in our Thursday night Bible study. The flesh, the spirit, they don't mix. Oil and water, two different things, don't mix. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about condemnation, because Revelation 12 and 10 says that Satan is the accuser of the brother. I'm talking about conviction from the Holy Spirit that should set us in a place where we feel compelled to get on our face before God and repent. I'm talking about from the Holy Spirit, not no junk. And you say, why? No real revival? You say, why? First of all, we don't think we're doing anything wrong. First of all, we think we are right where we are. We think, okay, if sister so-and-so gets her breakthrough, brother so-and-so gets a job, we all right. Pastor preaches a burning sermon, and Pastor Anna, she's got it lit up here with praise in the atmosphere, but no. No, 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 no. God says no, because we're not in the Word. We are not in the Word. There's no Word. And I don't have to go in your house and get in your business like that. You know you're not in the Word. You know you ain't reading your Bible. You know you're not studying your Bible. You might do a quick check when you know you got to be a Bible study at 7. You might take a 6 o'clock check and say, let me check it out before I get there. You're not in your Bible. God ain't given me this hard word for this church, and not just this church, for the church and whomever is listening. God says there's no prayer. No prayer. I'm not saying, Sister Ann, there ain't no prayer. There ain't no prayer. We ain't praying. We might be in the building. We might be sitting in the seat, but we ain't praying. We may be in our closet, but we may be napping. We ain't praying, y'all. We might be praying, but are we praying through? There is a difference. Are we praying through that thing? Till you get that answer, till you get that revelation, till you get that thing that you so desperately need God to give you, you're going to keep pushing. It says knock and seek, knock and seek, knock and seek. You got to seek him with your whole heart if you want him to answer. Amen. And it says, he says, there's no adherence to the Holy Spirit. Now, out of all of that I read that he gave me, that one really, like, oh, that's a hard one to say. There are no adherence to the Holy Spirit. That means we don't listen to him. We don't pay attention to him when he does. We quench the Spirit in so many ways in our lives that is unbelievable. That's why we don't have revival. That's part of the reason we don't have revival right there. Y'all think I'm playing, but I'm not. We're heading towards apostasy. I'm just going to just be real with you. Apostasy, a falling away, a withdrawal from. And I know you may say, how dare you say something like that to us. Well, we're in the end times. Go back and read your Bible. See what he says to you through your reading. We are there. We are there. How sad is that? And yet we cry out with filthy hands, raised up to a holy God. We call his name. We speak his truth. We do all the wonderful things with sin. Sin in our lives. Are we in denial? Are we in denial? Think about it. That's really a good sign when you start saying things like, those are other religions. We say, oh, those are the other churches, the other denominations. Not us. Ooh, I misprinted there. And we say God's moving. We say things like, oh, but God's moving, and the power of God was this, and it was that. And God says, we ain't in revival yet. We are close, but we're not in revival. You know, we say things like, we had a great service and God's moving, and then we have the nerve to pat ourselves on the back like we've achieved some grandiose goal. We don't have anything that God didn't give us, not even the breath in our lungs to breathe. We have nothing that God hasn't given us. Nothing that God hasn't given us. And you say God is moving. Yes, God is moving. But I'm going to tell you right now, church, there's a word that he brought to me, infiltration. The action of entering in and gaining access to an organization or place in order to acquire secret information or to cause damage. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We want revival. We're praying for revival. Some of us even believe we're in revival. I believe we're close. We're right there. We're close. I can smell it. I've never smelled this smell before. I've never felt this feeling before. Never. I ain't that old, y'all. Something's changing. Something's happening. Something is happening. But I'm going to tell you something. Anytime that you go to possess the promise, the land that God has promised you, you're going to fight some devils. Y'all hear me? Now listen, I chase Jesus. I'm chasing Jesus. I ain't chasing no devils. But I'm just saying, on the way to your promised land, you're going to find some devils. You got to kill the devils to get to the promised land. You got to kill them. You got to wipe them out. And I know sometimes it's strange, it's scary, it's weird. But hey, in order to possess, to take that thing that God has promised us, revival, we got to kill some giants. We may think the giants are hiding up under the bushes or in the crevices or in the dark. Most of them are in here. Come on, we got to start killing some devils, some giants. We got to. So you say, God's moving. And I say, yes, because I see it. It's visible. It's notable. He is moving. But he's moving in some muddy water, church. He's moving in some muddy water. Waters. The prophecy of the waters running through this church. And I believe it because I've been in it. Been in it. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. But I'm trying to get here. Y'all hear me? He's saying the water is muddy. With what? Sin. Sin. Our sin. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Look. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and 8 that he, meaning God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. more. So that means he's going to continue to move. He's always doing something. He's always moving. He's always moving. But where are we? Stuck in the mud, the very mud that my Jesus came and died and was crucified so that we didn't have to do that mess anymore. But where are we at? Stuck in the mud. Stuck in the mud. You see, we close our eyes to sin. We close our ears to sin. That's muddy waters, church. When we can't look at sin straight in the face and say, you're wrong, that's sin, but do it in love. But those are muddy waters. Muddy waters. You see sin in the church. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about from believers. Holy Ghost filled believers of God in the church. And do I mean this church? Absolutely. Do I mean the church out there? Absolutely. I'm saying the church as a whole. You see it. You see it's too prevalent not to. But we close our eyes and we close our ears because we don't want to shake up things. We don't want to offend people. We don't want people to think bad of us because we're being judgmental. We don't want to say things when it would hurt people's feelings when sin is sin, church. Sin is sin. Muddy waters. Muddy waters. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to go somewhere. All I'm saying to you is there's sin in the camp. I'm not going to hold this thing long. I am about to wrap it up and let Holy Spirit continue to do whatever he wants to do. There's sin in the camp. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. Now listen. The only thing that I know to tell you is what Holy Spirit is telling me. We have to do something about the sin in our lives. The willful sin that we know that we're guilty of, that we're charged of, that we know, maybe I don't know, maybe Pastor doesn't know, but you know. The things that you hide, you hold close to your vest because you say, nobody knows. Nobody's going to ever find out. So you go on your job and you cuss out your coworker. Okay. So you go, ooh, Pastor's not going to like this one. But you go to Walmart and you get irritated at the top, with the cashiers because there's not enough cashiers. You get mad because they didn't sing your song today. You get offended because someone corrected your child. You get offended because the sermon was all up in my business, stepping on my toes, and you have no right to tell me what to do. You have no right to say I've sinned. You have no right to say that I'm walking in muddy waters. But if God has sent the man or woman of God, they are commissioned, mandated to do just that. Amen? So I'm saying what God is saying to me, it's time to surrender. Repent for the things that we know, that are wrong. Now, we've been diagnosed, and I've told you the symptoms. I mean, I've told you how close we are. I mean, we're real close, y'all. This is something new to me. This is like, oh, my goodness, let's come on already. But we got to do something before we get there. God is not going to let us. Would you give a two-year-old keys to a car and let him go run? Go. Just go where you want. No. No. I hope not. You have to be prepared to take that step. And we're not there. I'm just saying we're not there. I'm not there. You see, this had to come to me before I could give it to you. This hurt. Because I'm thinking, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, like you. And God said, whoop, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes, because we're not there yet. He says we're close. We're so close. I'm telling you, I could smell it. There's such a sweet aroma. Woo, I can hardly wait, y'all. There's such a sweet aroma. We're close, church. But I'm going to throw in Pastor's word. He's going to be so proud. But we have to have the tenacity. We have to have the tenacity. Woo! Hallelujah. We got to have tenacity, Lord. We do. We got to hold on. We got to hold on and let God do what God's trying to do and quit worrying about your pitiful little feeling, because they're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt. If people are telling you right when you're wrong, you're going to get your feelings hurt. But that's all right. That's all right. When we were kids, and mostly my brothers, I didn't do too many fall downs and hurts and stuff till I got older. My brothers would fall off the bike, fall out of a tree, or do something my mom would say, shake it off. Shake it off. That means you all right. You ain't dying. Get up. Shake it off. Shake it off, church. Shake it off. You get your feelings hurt when somebody preaches truth to you? Shake it off. And be thankful that they loved you enough, cared about you enough, spent time in the Word, spent time on their face before God to bring you a word so that you can move. So that you can move. You see, revival says it means to bring back to life, to awaken, to resuscitate. So that tells me that we were at one point, I wasn't here, but at one point we were there. So we need a refreshing. Look, I ain't the fancy evangelist. I'm not the fancy, the evangelists that come through and woo, everybody falls out and woo. If God used me that way, okay. But that's not me. What I'm saying is we can't wait until the fancy gets here to move. We need to be active, proactive, whatever you need to say, now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when the brothers and sisters get here, now. God is up to something, and he would not be pressing this hard if we weren't close, church. He's close, or we're close. Well, he's close, too. He's close, too, but he's trying to get us to a point. He's trying to get us to a point. Look, that's the end of my thing. I got one more thing. I don't remember what I have up here. True revival. God wants us to experience true revival personally. Amen. Personally. Yes. I ain't just talking about the church scene. I'm talking about personally. Yes. He wants us to experience revival. He wants us to experience revival in our homes. Uh-huh. I don't know about y'all, but I still got some jacked up stuff going on in my home. I'm looking for revival in our church. In our church, he wants revival. Church, he wants revival in this church, in this city. Y'all hear me? It ain't just about Souls Harbor. I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but it ain't. I love y'all, but look, I have to go through to get stuff like this. I love y'all, but this is bigger than us. He's not just interested in our personal lives, our homes, and our church. He's interested in the nations. This city, the states, the regions, the nation, he wants to heal a land. Do y'all hear me? He wants to heal a land, not just a people, a land. And he's trying to do his thing, but we just so stubborn, so hard-headed, so hard-headed. We are. The thing I can't understand is, I heard one brother over here saying, God forgive us. I ain't heard nobody say nothing else, but you're right. You're right, altar one, altar two, all this floor, nobody moving. That right there is a true sign that we ain't in revival. Come on, bring me that other slide. Where are my people? Ow! Y'all about to get fired. Okay. 2 Chronicles 7. See, when Pastor Brian did his thing this morning, I said, boy, you better not preach. Don't preach. But he did. But it's good to know that he works in unity with his ministers. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called, well, he went further. He did it right. I just tried to be quick about it. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their lands. Y'all got to hear me. Y'all got to hear me. Y'all got me up here sweating. I told my sister I'm going to preach my wig off. Y'all better come on. Give me that next slide. Okay, now look. All I done said, all God's given me, I'm done. Oh, well, no, we got a little celebration here in a little bit. But look here. This is what true revival is. See, that first picture, God, I'm sorry. I heard you. God heard you. That's where we're supposed to be right now. We're supposed to be so sorry. I mean, it's supposed to hurt our hearts. That's true revival. On our face, on our knees before God, repenting for sin. What sin? Whatever sin's in your life. Whatever sin you're not giving up. Whatever sin. That second picture, that's just giving God praise and glory for the victory that he's already won for us. That's revival, church. That is revival. That's revival. I'm still talking. Ain't nobody on their faces. I can't understand that. I'm sorry. I'm repentant. I have spent a lot of time on the floor repenting. Because if you dig deep enough, you ain't got to dig that hard. You know you. You know you. God knows us better, but you know you. You know what's up. You could either wait and do it behind closed doors, or you can be bold and courageous enough to say, God, you know what? I am so wrong. I missed the mark. I am so sorry that I have hurt your heart for my ungodly behavior, for my sin. I mean, we could be like that. But you see, that's the problem with the church. We almost have to take Calipron and get you to move. If pastor don't say, would you, could you, come on, we'll move. I'm not baiting you to get in the presence of God. I'm not baiting you. I'm not baiting you. I'm saying this is a requirement, a mandate from God to get on your face before God. Why? Because we cry out for revival. We cry out, God, give us more. We cry out, God, heal our land. God, save our children. God, do this. Fix my finances. Fix this. And yet we sit. We sit. We have no conviction. We can't find the time, the energy, or the courage to stand for God. See, that's what's wrong with the church right there. That's it right there. I almost had to just lasso you and bring you up here. Why? Because if you that good, I need to come live at your house. Because I'm not there. If you got it all together, you got it all straight with God, you ain't got nothing you got to pray about, come show me how to do that. Come show the church how to do that. How you sit in your seat and not repent for the sin in your life, for the wrong in your heart. Show me how to do that when I cry out to a holy God on your behalf. Show me how to do that. Sit in your seats. I ain't begging you. I'm just trying to convince you that this is real. I'm telling you, when God gets through with us, we're going to come through as pure gold. We're going to come through as pure, but we got to go through something, church. We close, but we're not there. God said a little bit further, a little bit closer. He said, you're close, but you're not there yet. He's drawing us. He's drawing us to him. He's drawing us. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Do not quench the moving of the Spirit as he begins to tug at your heart. As he begins to tug at your heart. See, he wants those clean hands and those pure hearts, but they don't just get washed away because you want it. You got to get in his presence. You got to get in his presence. Whether it be on your knees, on the floor, or just sitting there, we need to be crying out to God. We need to be crying out to God. God, we need revival. We pray for revival. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus as we spend time crying out to you, not for that revival out there, but for that revival in us, God, for the renewal in us, God, so that people can see us and know that there has been a change in us, God, not just a over-the-night change, but a complete, a whole change, God, So God, right now in the name of Jesus, as we bow our knees to you, God, we cry out to you with repentance. Our hearts are so sorrowful, God. Please forgive us for the sin, God. Please forgive us for raising filthy hands to a holy God. Please forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, for using the same mouth to praise you and to curse our brothers and sisters, God. God, forgive us. Forgive us, God.